Right. Hello everyone, up and running. Right, over the next 20 minutes or so, I'll be talking about sort of how and why I think we need to sort of blur the boundaries between our physical libraries and the electronic ones. I'll put a lot of stuff in the abstract about sort of talking about what other people have used and sort of what we've used at Huddersfield and sort of future things. But I'm going to try and cut that down as much as possible so I can fit within 20 minutes. And also so I can talk slowly enough for you all to understand me. So if I start to speed up and start to waffle, feel free to throw something at me and I'll slow down and start to focus again. The main thing I want to do is sort of the last 5 minutes or so, talk about subverting RFID technologies to do more than just circulation, to do more than just issuing books and returning them. And my main reason for giving this talk was to try and get some of you clever people to give me feedback on whether you think that's a good idea or not and where we could go with it. So I'll be asking at the end for you to get in touch with me and say, you know, is this good, bad, ridiculous, whatever. So first of all, so why should we do these things? Someone mentioned early on about librarians playing, and that was part of their reason for doing a mobile version of the web pages. That's my main reason for doing Web2 type stuff and mobile type stuff, because I fancy playing rather than any sort of institutional preference for these sort of things. So the first reason was just to get a little bit of magic into the library. And that's sort of based on the last time I upgraded my mobile phone, and sort of when I upgraded it and started to play with my iPhone, I had this sort of quote from R.C. Clarke bouncing around in my head, because any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And I can't believe that this phone knows where I am through GPS or through the nearest mobile phone aerial. If the GPS is turned off, it connects me instantly to friends and colleagues all the way around the world through email, Facebook and Twitter. It effortlessly links me to the sea of information that's the internet. It acts as a gaming device, an electronic book reader, a way of watching television programmes I've missed or listening to radio programmes that I've missed, an educational tool for my young children who are playing about with phonics to learn how to read on it, a music player, and much more. It's a phone as well. If I'd been given this 30 years ago, when I was a 9-year-old child, I might as well have thought it worked like magic. So it'd be nice to get sort of this feeling of magic within our libraries. So, I've also thought recently, and there's some pictures of my library just after our last refurbishment, that we seem to be moving more towards library as a social space. People come into our libraries and sit around desks talking to one another or social networking online more than interacting with information. And I've sort of thought that this link between coming to the library and interacting directly with information has been weakening. It's more sort of social space than anything else. And I think without sort of moving technologies into our physical libraries that allow us to sort of be a place of learning again, we risk losing these spaces. I don't know if this is sort of familiar to you a lot out there, sort of this idea of library more social space, more than learning space. But, am I going back there? Oh yeah. But I'd like to ask you all a question here, because it's something we've been looking at recently, which is, do you all think that your physical library directly impacts on student achievement, on student academic success? Could you stick your hand up if you think your physical library makes a difference to how well your students do? So a fair few, and probably a few that are too shy to stick the hand up as well. Well, we've been looking at this. We've got some statistics that's probably too hard for you to see. But we looked all our students that have graduated over the last couple of years and said, well, how many times have they come into the library? How many books have they taken out? How many times have they accessed our electronic resources? And we got some quite good news out of it. Sort of, the more books they took out, the more likely they were to get a higher grade in their final degree. The more times they accessed electronic resources, the more likely they were to get a higher grade in their final degree. But the link between coming into the library and final degree award was a bit different. It was actually slightly negative. Probably not enough to be significant, but essentially there were lots of people coming into the library, but it didn't make a difference to what degree they got. So with these sort of things, you think, well, why should the university be paying for this sort of space if it's mainly social space that they could put anywhere and it's not having a direct impact on student achievement? Then why should they pay for us in the library to be providing that space? Why shouldn't they go to the bar across the road and get a similar sort of environment and similar sort of effect on the final degree? So I think we need to think about more what our physical library is for. Is it just for students to socialise in, whether that's online or offline? Or is it about exploring information, about inquiring, learning, discovering, and creating and synthesising new knowledge, as this sort of promotional material from a US university suggests? I think if we can move more towards sort of mobile and personalised learning as people move around the library, we might be able to bring more elements of the library as a place for learning back into our physical buildings. So that was sort of one of the big reasons for me investigating this stuff. Sort of many of the technologies I'm going to talk about here can be about personalising the library environment again. I've a lovely quote from Specht about this, about making annotations in a book as we read it. He said that annotations make the book unique, in which reflection and learning is documented. When we talk about personal things, we think about something that has meaning for us, which includes cognition, emotion, and motivation. At the minute, our sort of shared library books are the opposite to that. You know, if someone annotates one of our library books, we hit the roof, we go mad at them. And we also make it hard or impossible to annotate our electronic stuff as well. So if we can make it easy to make electronic annotations of our stock, whether that's physical or electronic, wouldn't it enrich our learning environment for everybody? Again, bring that learning back into the library. So these sort of technologies, I think, can bring their magic to make the library a learning environment again. And there's sort of two different things I'll talk about, two different sets of technologies. The first is possibly the most mature, which is sort of locating technologies. So you can pick up a phone and it knows where you are. So we can deliver context-appropriate information to people as they walk around. GPS works fantastically outside, but not so well inside. So there's alternatives for if you're inside, like mapping the signal strength of Wi-Fi aerials as you walk around the building. So two different location technologies. And I'll show briefly a few examples of those. The first one, GPS in Oxford within the UK. And from the library's point of view, there's loads and loads of small academic libraries scattered across this city, because it's set up as a series of colleges, each of which have their own library or libraries. This little application allows people to search for a book on the library catalogue and get directions to their nearest library that stocks that book, details about if the library's open, directions using Google Maps, I think, to say how to get to the library. There's sort of commercial versions sort of vaguely similar to that, like Campus M, which aims to deliver lots of stuff through a mobile portal, which seems to have GPS stuff tagged on at the end. So again, you could find things like the nearest PC in the library through this, or where your exams are and directions to it. And talk earlier on about Ryerson University, it's sort of that mobile web page is reminding me a lot of CampusM. And then there's using things like Wi-Fi signal strength to do similar sort of things. And I've got one from Durham here, which sort of gives you information about different rooms as you move about, and one from actually within a library, giving you directions to the nearest book. Those sort of locating technologies tend to be quite difficult and expensive and time-consuming to set up, and if you buy the off-the-shelf ones that are starting to be developed, they cost an absolute fortune anyway, so they're not easily accessible to most of us. So I think an alternative is to use sort of smart or smarter objects, and I'll go through two here. First is QR codes, which we've used at the University of Huddersfield, and I'll show you how we've used them. And the second is RFID tags. This is a QR code. I haven't heard them mentioned at all this conference, so I better explain what they are. Essentially, a normal barcode goes in one dimension, goes left to right or right to left. This is sort of a two-dimensional version of the same sort of idea. So it encodes information, sort of left to right and up and down, so you can fit a lot more information within a small code. It's set up as an international standard. It was developed by Denso Wave in Japan to control inventory as they moved stuff through a car parts factory, I think it was, or a car parts distribution centre. So they wanted to be able to zap stuff and get a lot of information off each bundle of stuff as it moved through the factory. But they released it as a standard for everybody to use. And now lots of people use it through phones. So you can install a free application onto practically any camera phone. Once you've installed it, you open up the application. It basically hijacks your camera and tries to translate what's in there. And I can't remember what that one was. So I've just scanned it. It's thinking about it. Oh, it's a link to a web page of what QR codes are on our university web page. So I've just done it like this, quick and easy to do, and free for you to produce as well. It can link to things like chunks of text to explain things, resources on the web, and prompt your phone to do things like make a phone call or send a text message. These are some examples of how we've used it at the University of Huddersfield. First thing we did was put it on the library catalogue. So at the bottom of every catalogue entry, there's a QR code generated on the fly that links to a cut-down version of that web page. So essentially, as people are looking at things on the library catalogue, they can scan that quickly and take the catalogue record with them. And it's sort of just one step further on from what we'd seen people already do, which was taking pictures of the catalogue screen with a camera phone. So it's a logical next extension. We've put them on lots of our handouts to sort of enrich the paper handouts. So you've put things like quizzes on there, links to videos, links to further help, and links to other web pages. So we've embedded a lot of richer extra content into printed handouts using them. So it's sort of appropriate to the place where people are getting them. We've linked to resources within the physical library that are available electronically. So we've linked to some electronic books from the shelves where you'd expect the print book to be, and linked to electronic journals from where the print journals are. So it's sort of bringing the electronic into the physical library. Linked on shelf ends to appropriate resources to that location. So this one here is where we keep the law books containing legislation. The QR code on the end of the shelf links to electronic versions of that legislation. And the little one here on our Pink Credit machine is how to use a Pink Credit machine in YouTube. They're really cheap and easy to use because they don't cost anything to produce. If you want to stick them on an object, it costs you the price of a sticker. And if it's on the web, obviously it's completely free. The biggest barrier to using them to provide this sort of context-appropriate help is that nobody knows what they are. So there's a big awareness-raising exercise you have to go through to use them. And before we started, we had 8% of people had a vague idea of what they were. But after an academic term, after about 3 months, we did an exit survey again, and 22% knew what they were. And another 11% said, well, that's vaguely familiar. So we were sort of getting there with the awareness raising. So it's not impossible to get sort of awareness out there, sort of fairly painlessly. That's what we've done so far. But although we got awareness up, it was a big effort to try and get people to install the application on the phone for us to provide this sort of context-appropriate help to people and provide this link to the electronic as the people are moving around the physical library. So I started to think about RFID tags. And we've got them on everything in our library, all our stock, and all the people in it as well, because they're embedded in the staff and student cards that you need to get into the building. So why don't we use them for something more interesting than just issuing stock? So this is sort of something I'd like people's feedback on afterwards, whether this is a mad idea or not. So I think you could use them to connect people as you're walking around the library. Perhaps initially, we've got catalogue computers that are only connected to the catalogue at the moment, all over the place. They're within a few steps away from where anybody is in the library. We could have little readers on them and do all these sorts of things using the RFID tags to connect to the data that we hold as it is within the library. So we could do things like develop book recommendations. So if you imagine picking up a book from the library and think, is that any good? Or this is good, are there any other books that might be of use to me? Pop it on one of these readers and it could look at usage history and sort of what people then went on to borrow after borrowing that book, for instance, to give recommendations of other books that might be of use or to see other people's annotations on that book. So could allow you to decide what books to borrow just easily by picking something off the shelf and waving it over one of these readers. We've had similar recommendations like this on our library catalogue for a while, and since doing it we've increased the range of books borrowed, so people seem to like these ideas of sort of digging through the usage history of items and making it available to people. This is doing it within the physical space. You could allow people to comment on books. So either putting it on one of these readers and allowing them to sort of note away what they think of the book and rate it out of 10. Or perhaps simpler than that, we use RFID with a returns machine. So they pop books one at a time through a slot in the wall. We could have just a simple recommend yes or no pop up on the returns machine. And that could feed into when people pick up one of these books and say, well, are people recommending it or are they saying it's a pile of rubbish? Or feed into our relevancy rankings on the catalogue to put ones higher up if more people say, that's a good book, I recommend it. We could get personalised help if they scan the card on a RFID reader. We know what course that student's on, we know what books they're borrowing, we know what electronic resources they're accessing. We could say, well, we see you haven't logged on to such and such yet. Here's some help. You know, we'll recommend this resource and we'll show you a video on how to use it. And you can get such and such place for a handout as well if you want. So we could deliver personalised help depending on the person's history and what courses they belong to just by scanning the card. You could, of course, do social networking if you wanted to through this, because people could leave notes as they walked through the library. And probably more interesting from the library's point of view, to deliver directed messages to people, so we could deliver messages just to people on a particular course. So they're my sort of vague ideas of what I think we could do with RFID tags to deliver sort of context-appropriate help, to sort of blur these boundaries between the physical and the electronic libraries, to make our place, our libraries, a place where people will interact with information much more again, rather than just a place for socialising. And sort of my ideas of how we could bring that little bit of magic back into the library. So there's a vague summary there, but what I'd really like is for people to tell me if I'm mad or not about this. And you can get in touch with me easily enough there, and I've put a link to this presentation, which will include audio if I can be bothered to upload it tonight. Right, thank you for listening.